It's the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
He is who he is, and he does a great job of making sure everybody's on the same page.
Every single week, I put my freaking heart and soul into this.
I would rather play with 10 people rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. It is more about them than it is about the team. Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
Jay Bish.
Acknowledge me.
We've got a jam-packed show for you today. We're going to talk some Georgia Southern football, going to preview their schedule, NBA Finals. It looks like that not all is well inside of the Braves locker room. The hiring of Freddy Gonzalez, what that actually means, and implications for Brian Snitker. I don't think there are enough people talking about what the hire of Freddy Gonzalez actually means for Brian Snitker. We're going to get into that as well. The College World Series, College Baseball World Series, we got a lot of stuff to get to. This segment of the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System, by the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, by Companions for Heroes, and by Golden Isles Collision. The expert team at Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery treats athletes of all ages and abilities. Let our board-certified orthopedic surgeons and specialists get you back in the game quickly and safely. Call Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery at 912-466-7340 or visit sghs.org. That's 912-466-7340. NBA Finals that begins this weekend. You've got the number one seed from the West, the Oklahoma City Thunder, playing the four seed from the East, the Indiana Pacers. It was a weird playoff year. You had a lot of the top seeds go out early. We've talked ad nauseum about this. In the West, you had the Lakers and the Rockets go out in the first round, respectively, the two and three seeds. The Cavs got beat in the second round, the one seed in the Eastern Conference. And so you end up with Oklahoma City, who's a one seed in the West. But to be honest with you, they haven't really been challenged. They haven't played any team that's higher than a four seed. And that will include the NBA Finals, where they're going to get the four seeded Indiana Pacers. Now, the Pacers, I certainly think they certainly have been challenged. They had a much tougher road to get to the NBA Finals than the Oklahoma City Thunder. Even with that being said, I still like Oklahoma City. I still like Oklahoma City. And I don't know how competitive this series is truly, truly going to be. This is also one of those series where Halliburton for Indiana has really jumped into the forefront of the national scene and has an opportunity here, with depending on what the ratings will look like for the NBA Finals, has an opportunity here to really solidify his name as a household name, even for those folks that don't follow the NBA religiously. He's got an opportunity to have his name mentioned with the likes of what, you know, you would consider a true solidified, bona fide NBA star into the mainstream, I guess, is really what I'm talking about. And he has had a great playoff run with the Pacers. And he's really done that largely to this point. And now the biggest stage that he'll play on, he's got even more of an opportunity to do that. And I think that, you know, I said I don't know how competitive the series is going to be. And I think that that largely depends on whether Halliburton is Superman-esque. Can the Pacers, with Halliburton leading the way as the guy, lean on him and can he carry the load enough for the Pacers to be able to win an NBA championship with him as kind of that front chip, that front piece, against a very, very deep and talented Oklahoma City Thunder team? It's going to pose a lot of problems matchup-wise, as they have for everybody they've played. They're going to pose the same problems for the Pacers. I think the only chance that the Pacers have to win this series is for Halliburton to put on Michael Jordan-esque, a Michael Jordan-esque performance in the NBA Finals. He's got to be able to score 30, 40 a game in order for the Pacers to win the series. Anything less than that, the Thunder are going to win. I'm going to pick the Thunder in five games. I think that there's a chance, even, you know, and I don't think that Halliburton, I think he's going to have a good series. Michael Jordan-esque remains to be seen. We'll find out. If he plays normal, five games, if he plays above average, I'll get them eliminated in six and give Oklahoma City the championship. But if Halliburton does do that, if he puts on the Michael Jordan cape, the Pacers can get to seven games, and anything can happen in a seventh game of any sports series. That is the fantastic thing about sports. I mentioned to you the Pacers and the path they've had, and the Thunder and the path they've had. I mentioned to you that the Thunder have had an easier road. In the first round, 8 seed, Grizzlies. Second round, 4 seed, Nuggets, and then the Western Conference Finals, a 6 seed. So they've beaten an 8, a 4, and a 6 to get to the finals. Meanwhile, on the other side, the Pacers being the 4 seed, they got matched up with the 5th seed, the Milwaukee Bucks, in the first round, beat them. Then they had the number 1 seed, the Cleveland Cavaliers, in the second round, beat them. Then they had the 3 seed, the New York Knicks, to get to the NBA Finals. They knocked the Knicks off in the Eastern Conference Finals. So the Pacers went through a 5, a 1, and a 3, where the Thunder went through an 8, a 4, and a 6. Despite that, I still think that Oklahoma City is a more talented team. I think they're deeper. I think that they're very well coached. I'm not saying the Pacers aren't, but I think that there's a lot of matchups that we have seen in the NBA playoffs during the Oklahoma City Thunder series. A lot of teams haven't been able to match up very well with them. So I'll take the Thunder in 5, maybe 6. If the Pacers win, it will only be because Halliburton puts on the Michael Jordan cape. Short of that, Oklahoma City, you're ready to celebrate.
The Bishop Media Sports Network presents the Southern Sports Edition Minute with Jason Bishop, the authority on Southern sports.
This Southern Sports Edition Minute is brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, a strategic affiliate of Southeast Georgia Health System. For more information about services and physicians, visit sghs.org/summit. More big news out of St. Simon's Island. The Frederick Academy Knights baseball team won the AAA GISA State Baseball Championship last week in Columbus, Georgia. The Knights swept Pinewood in the championship series 3-0, beating the Patriots 8-6 in the final game. It is Frederica's first ever baseball state title. The Knights finished the season with a 23-6 record. Congrats, Knights! The Southern Sports Edition Minute is a product of the Bishop Media Sports Network.
Keep up with all your local sports teams at thesouthernsportsedition.com and look for your monthly copy of the Southern Sports Edition.
You love the game, but you don't love the pain. From the moment an injury sidelines you, turn to the experts at Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery. Our winning team of physicians and orthopedic surgeons will design a treatment plan just for you, so you can get back in the game quickly and safely. To play your best, you need to work with the best. Visit sghs.org/summit or call 912-466-7340 to schedule your appointment.
Golnaz Collision Center treats you like family because they are locally owned and operated. Free estimates, accepts all insurances, pickup and delivery options, new state-of-the-art facilities. Golnaz Collision Center also guarantees their work for life. 301 Candler Drive off of Highway 82 next to J&J Tire, 912-263-4422. Golnaz Collision Center, friendly, honest service.
Baseball is back. Jumbo Shrimp Baseball is home all season long at Vistar Ballpark in downtown Jacksonville. Triple-A baseball for as little as $5. Fireworks after all Friday games and great promotions all season long. For tickets and information, log on to jackshrimp.com. Jumbo Shrimp Baseball. Affordable. Family. Fun.
Thousands of shelter animals need homes. Many of our nation's heroes need healing. At Companions for Heroes, we bring them together, rescuing pets and giving military members and first responders the support of a loyal companion. It's more than just adoption. It's a second chance for both. Learn how you can help at companionsforheroes.org.
I have told you many times that there is no better playoff system than the NCAA basketball tournament. I stand by that, but I will say that in this conversation is the College Baseball World Series. The regionals, super regionals, the trips to Omaha in the actual World Series, it doesn't get much better, and you have a ton of upsets. You get... Everybody, like the NCAA basketball tournament, everybody that's in, they get a fair shake, and anybody can beat anybody, as is proven, not just in the NCAA basketball tournament, but it is also proven in the College World Series as well. This segment of the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System, by the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, Companions for Heroes, and by Golden Isles Collision. Thousands of shelter animals need homes. Many of our nation's heroes need healing. At Companions for Heroes, we bring them together, rescuing pets and giving military members and first responders the support of a loyal companion. It's more than just adoption. It's a second chance for both. Learn how you can help at companionsforheroes.org. It's a must-see. College, during the summer, there's a lot of entertainment options, and I feel like that the College World Series should be up there. I had an opportunity. I've gone and seen a couple of movies this past week. The new Mission Impossible, I highly recommend. Took my son to see the Lilo and Stitch movie. Pretty funny movie. Recommend that as well. And then The Last of Us on HBO Max. Got through 7 episodes of that, which is the entire, second season. Very, very well done, and kind of leaves you on a cliffhanger, leaving you getting ready for that third season. So some summer watching options that I'm giving you, as well as the College Baseball World Series. In the Super Regionals, we've got Louisville and Miami. That's going to be played in Louisville. 3-game series, right? The winner, the first team to win 2 of 3, advances on to Omaha. Louisville, Miami. Neither one of those teams are ranked. Miami has certainly, and Louisville's got a good pedigree too. Miami, they have won this thing a couple of four, five different times. I guess I like Miami there. Oregon State, who is the 8th seed against Florida State, the 9th seed. They'll play that game in Corvallis, or that series in Corvallis, rather. I'm going to pick Florida State here. I'm going to go right where baseball has always produced big-time talent in the South, especially the Southeast. And those programs in the Southeast, they particularly recruit really well year in, year out. Well, Florida State's in the Southeast. Oregon State is not. I'm not saying Oregon State's not a good baseball team, but I'll take Florida State to win in the Super Regionals in advance to Omaha. North Carolina and Arizona, they'll play that in Chapel Hill. North Carolina is the 5 seed. North Carolina is really good. They are one of the higher seeds left remaining. They're the second highest seed left remaining. Excuse me, third highest seed left remaining in the tournament. North Carolina can pitch. And because of that, I'm going to take the Tar Heels to beat Arizona and advance to Omaha. Number 4, Auburn, will play 13, Coastal Carolina. Again, Coastal Carolina, perfect example of what I'm talking about. Everybody gets a fair shake. Everybody gets an opportunity, and you're going to have these upsets. Here's Coastal Carolina in the Super Regionals. They're a 13 seed overall. They will play those games, that series in Auburn. I'm going to pick Coastal Carolina to upset the Auburn Tigers. Give me Coastal Carolina to get to Omaha, and we'll see what they can do when they get there. Another example of an upset, UTSA, they will play UCLA. UCLA, the higher seed, they're ranked 15th. Of course, they'll play those games in L.A. I'm going to take UCLA here, and I don't – I'm not super high on UCLA, but UTSA, I feel like they should be able to handle. So give me UCLA to get to Omaha as well. Duke and Murray State. Murray State, boy, they had a good run, and they will play Duke. Those games will be played in Durham, North Carolina. Give me Murray State. Give me Murray State to knock off the Blue Devils and get to Omaha. In the next to last Super Regional in Baton Rouge, you'll have the number 6 LSU Tigers. Of course, had the SEC playing West Virginia. LSU is really talented. Overall, when you start measuring teams across the board, LSU, in my opinion, LSU and Arkansas are probably the two best teams overall across the board. I like LSU and Arkansas a lot. Games are in Baton Rouge. Give me number 6 LSU to get to Omaha. And then that brings us to an all-SEC matchup. Arkansas, number 3. They're the 3 seed against the 14 seed Tennessee Volunteers. That game, that series, rather, will be played in Fayetteville, Arkansas. I just told you that I really like Arkansas. I think that they are a very well-rounded team. They do everything very well. I'll take them to get to Omaha, and I'm going to pick Arkansas as my favorite to win the whole dang thing. So in Louisville, Miami, I'll take Miami. Oregon State and Florida State, I will take FSU. Number 5, North Carolina and Arizona, that I'll take North Carolina. Auburn and Coastal Carolina, give me Coastal Carolina. UCLA and UTSA, University of Texas, San Antonio, by the way, I'll take UCLA. Murray State and Duke, give me Murray State. 6, LSU and West Virginia, I'll take the Tigers, the Bayou Bengals. And number 3, Arkansas and 14, Tennessee, give me number 3, Arkansas. So that would field out to Omaha, Miami, Florida State, North Carolina, Coastal Carolina, UCLA, Murray State, LSU, and Arkansas would be your teams that would take place or take part in the College World Series in Omaha. And again, I'm not saying that it's the best format, because I do think the NCAA tournament is playoff-wise, right? Best playoff format. But I do believe that the College World Series is in the conversation for the second best. And there are some other good ones, but, you know, definitely NCAA College Basketball Tournament number 1 and the College World Series is in the conversation to have a very sound, valid argument made for it as the second best playoff format that exists in college or professional sports. So, yeah, and again, my field, Miami, Florida State, North Carolina, Coastal Carolina, UCLA, Murray State, LSU, and Arkansas, and I'm going to take Arkansas to win the whole thing. Sweet!
No matter the temperature outside, the AC Guys can get you ready for any weather, any time of the year. Your exclusive Train dealer and Train comfort specialists. High quality work, trained professionals, top-notch local service. Give the professional hometown folks at the AC Guys a call, 912-638-5778, or check them out online at theacguysinc.net. And remember, it's hard to stop a train, and we are the AC Guys.
For hometown, honest, friendly service from a name you can trust, come on in to Bruce Kennedy Tire. For almost 20 years, Bruce Kennedy and his family have been taking care of our friends and neighbors. 2928 Norwich Street, across from Dollar General. Tires, alignments, minor mechanic, and AC work. 912-264-6578. Pop on in. We'd love to see you. Monday through Thursday, 7 to 4:30, and Friday, 7 to 3:30. Bruce Kennedy Tire, a name you can trust.
Father's Day is just around the corner. He makes time for you every day. Make his day special. Dad, let your loved ones acknowledge everything you do for them with a special gift from Cunningham Jewelers. All watches 20% off for Father's Day. Great gifts everywhere in the store. Grill sets, non-tipping beverage holders, oyster knives, and more. Cunningham Jewelers, historic downtown Brunswick, 912-265-8652 or online, cunninghamjewelers.com.
None of us really want to deal with it, but sometimes your roof needs some attention. Don't stress. Call your neighbors at DBM Roofing and let them take all the worry away. Whether it's a simple repair or you need a full replacement, you can depend on DBM Roofing to keep your family safe. Direct financing available? Give DBM Roofing a call for a free estimate at 912-326-5337 or check them out online at dbmroofing.com.
Remember, the Braves started 0-7. And then they went on this stretch for, 25 games or so, where they played 700 baseball. And they even got themselves back over 500 by a couple of games. It's been tough treading since then. They played they played under 500 since. And the Braves find themselves, two, depending on when you listen to this, two or three games under the Mendoza line, or under the 500 mark as it is right now. Spencer Strider has not looked like he looked pre-injury, and I don't think that anybody that was, medically educated would have thought that, he would have looked exactly the way he did before he got hurt. It's going to take some time to build some arm strength up, as he's exampling on his fastball, where he's not able to lift his velocity up over 95. And it changes the way he pitches. It's a whole lot different when you're throwing 98, 99 versus 95. You can get away with a lot more stuff. You don't have to set hitters up as much when you're throwing 98, 99 versus when you're throwing 95. That is the way Major League Baseball is. It's a high-velocity pitching game. So he has struggled to make that adaptation. The offense has been abysmal. Remember, the Braves hired a new hitting coach. They fired Kevin Seitzer in the offseason because of the dreadful year the Braves had offensively last year. They have not looked any better from last year to this year. Sean Murphy is an automatic out. He's hitting .216. Michael Harris has not lived up to the contract that he was given long-term. Ronald Acuna has looked great coming back. Ozzie Albies has struggled some. Matt Olson has gotten back to the strikeout thing. And it's just, injuries plagued in the starting rotation. It was not a very good look for the Atlanta Braves with A.J. Smith-Shawver. I'm a Braves fan, but I'm also a baseball guy, and I'm going to tell you something that you need to know. A.J. Smith-Shawver was out there on the mound, and he heard something, felt something pop in his elbow. And he stood out there and he looked in the dugout, and not the trainer, not Brian Snicker, not the pitching coach Kranitz, none of those guys even were paying enough attention to him to come out and check on him on their own. It took another player in the aforementioned Spencer Strider to come over to the pitching coach and say, "Hey, something's wrong." And then the trainer goes out, and then the pitching coach goes out, and then Brian Snicker goes out, only to find out A.J. Smith-Shawver is done for the year. Tore his UCL. None of those guys that are supposed to be paying attention to the game, and especially the starter, and specifically Rick Kranitz and the Atlanta Braves trainer, came out to check on A.J. Smith-Shawver when he blew out his UCL. Nobody came out. It is a horrible look for the Atlanta Braves. as far as their coaching staff goes. Even the bench coach, he's partly responsible too. I'm going to give Snicker a little bit of a pass on this because he's trying to manage 100 different things, a lot of things that baseball fans don't even know that's going on. Brian Snicker is maintaining during the game. So watching every single pitch that his pitcher throws, yes, he's doing that, but he's got so much going on that he's not paying attention to, oh, I think this guy just got hurt. That's the pitching coach. That's the trainer, the bench coach, his right-hand man, Walt Weiss. That's their job. And it's more than just one guy. It's not like just one guy is responsible for that and he didn't get it done. There's three or four guys on the coaching staff that is supposed to be keeping an eye on that stuff, and they didn't do it. It's a terrible look. And then things get even worse. Things get even worse as poorly as they're playing. The A.J. Smith-Shawver thing. Then you have Alex Gonzalez demote, basically relieve Matt Tuiasosopo of his third base coaching duties and hire somebody from outside to take that job, but not just from outside. The guy that used to do Brian Snicker's job that you fired and then hired Brian Snicker right at in Freddie Gonzalez. And you've heard all of the stuff. You've heard all of the stuff about how Tuiasosopo got guys thrown out consistently at the plate. He was being too aggressive. He almost got Ronald Acuna hurt at the plate in what would have been a bang-bang play. Unfortunately, Acuna didn't get hurt. You've heard all of those things, but I'm here to tell you, while those are some of the reasons that Anthopoulos has done this, it is not the primary reason. The primary reason is because the Braves are several games under 500 with a big payroll, a lot of long-term contracts for talented guys that are not swinging the bat. And Brian Snicker is on the hot seat. Let me tell you something. The Atlanta Braves, since winning the World Series in 2021, have not won a playoff series since. Let that sink in for a minute. They've been in the playoffs every year since they won the World Series, 2022, 2023, 2024. They have not advanced past their first series. Not once. They have not won a playoff series since winning the World Series in 2021. And Brian Snicker has his team in June several games under 500 with all of that talent in the lineup. And I get it. The starting rotation has been decimated. And a lot of this falls on Alex Anthopoulos too. He's got his fair share of blame to go around as well. When A.J. Minter walked and they didn't get him re-signed, what did Alex Anthopoulos do to address the bullpen? Nothing. Alex Anthopoulos, to address the starting lineup, went and signed a guy that had one decent season in San Diego. Texas had given up on him when he was a first-round draft pick. I'm talking about Profar here, Jerickson Profar. And within five games of the regular season, he gets slapped with PED use. Anthopoulos signed that guy. He's gone for half the year. Didn't address the bullpen. Signed an outfielder that has been completely non-helpful to you because he's suspended for 81 games, whatever it amounts to, 81, 82 games, whatever it is. And then there's the issue at shortstop. Arcia did not look good last year. He didn't do anything to upgrade shortstop. He put his eggs in the Arcia basket that didn't pan out. Starting rotation. Definite question marks heading into the regular season. 35-year-old Chris Sale, Renato Lopez could never get out of the fifth inning. Ian Anderson had been hurt. You didn't know whether Spencer Strider was going to come back. Spencer Schwellenbach was a guy that had only had that one decent year, and he didn't even pitch the full season. So you don't know. You didn't know what you were really going to get. You had two guys down in AAA that you were going to lean on, A.J. Smith-Shawver and Hurston Waldrop. Waldrop's got an ERA in AAA over 5, and Spencer and A.J. Smith-Shawver is done for the season. No depth in the offseason added to the rotation. And you got to figure that somebody's going to get hurt. And you had a lot of guys that you had question marks around, and you did nothing. So Anthopoulos shares a lot of this blame. Didn't address a bullpen, didn't address a starting rotation depth, went out and signed a guy that got smacked with PED in the first 5 games of the season, and didn't address the shortstop situation. The only thing he did was sign Jurickson Profar. That's it. He just left everything alone. And so here's Brian Snitker, who is now quite comfortably on the hot seat. What are you expecting him to do when you don't give him the tools to be able to do anything? So there's this whole thing with Rafael Montero in the Diamondback series. Let's talk about that for a minute. Montero came out, pitched a really good eighth, came back and seventh, came back out in the eighth and got blistered. And then in the post game, after the game's over, they asked Snitker about it. Should you have pulled Montero and put somebody else in since he had already pitched one inning? And Snicker's response was, "It's Montero's job to get people out," and he's right. It is Montero's job to get people out. And it's Brian Snitker's job to put his players in the best possible situations to succeed. And Brian Snitker did not do that. That's just as much on Snitker as it is Montero. And I found it very interesting that in the post-game press conference, Snitker did not say, "Yeah, you know, maybe we should have gone a different direction, or maybe I should have done something differently." No, what he did was he threw Montero under the bus, said it's Montero's job to get people out, which tells me Snicker's getting aggravated with the roster. He's getting aggravated with the performance of his players, and that is not a good sign for the Atlanta Braves moving forward. This thing has got all the potential to get off the rails really quickly if they don't get this thing turned around, and I don't know how they're going to. At this point, you've got to go. Anthopoulos has got to go out and address the starting rotation. He's got to go out and get pitching help in the rotation. Montero was great the first couple, 3 weeks. He's really struggled since, and Snitker keeps putting him out there. In Snicker's defense, I will say this in the Montero situation where he left him out there in the eighth. What's he supposed to do? Typically, in that situation, you would put your closer in the game in Iglesias and have Iglesias pitch the bottom of the eighth to keep the game right there so that you've got a chance in the ninth. But Iglesias has an ERA pushing 5. He's pitched terribly. There was nowhere else for him to go. That's on Anthopoulos. Just as much as it's on Snitker, just as much as it's on Montero. And around we go. What I'm trying to tell you, Braves fans, is we've got a powder keg in Atlanta, and I think that the fuse is getting dang short.
Not only does Gentleman and Lady Outfitters carry the top brands that have made them a staple here in the Golden Isles, they also specialize in prom season. It's always important to look your best. Head on over to the Tuxedo Rental Experts at Gentleman and Lady Outfitters. For over 25 years, Gentleman and Lady Outfitters have been the leader in tuxedo rentals. 600 Sea Island Road in the Harris Teeter Shopping Center on St. Simons. Call 912-634-1521.
The friendly staff at Golden Isles Pharmacy would like to invite you to their new second location off of Exit 29, just down from Winn-Dixie. Golden Isles Pharmacy accepts most insurances, offers online transfers, free delivery to St. Simons and Brunswick, average in-store wait times of under 5 minutes, and a convenient drive-through at both locations. Whether it's our Altama location or Exit 29, Golden Isles Pharmacy would love to be your local pharmacy. 912-266-8140 or 912-400-2929. Golden Isles Pharmacy. At Jack's Tire and Brake, we understand the economy is tough. That's why we will always give a fair and honest price. No games, no surprises, just honest folks you know and trust. Whether it's tires, brakes, AC suspension, or any minor mechanic work, Jack's Tire and Brake will treat you right. So come on into Jack's Tire and Brake at 485 Warren Mason Road, off of 341 behind Racetrack and KFC, or give us a call, 912-265-8674, and find us on Facebook.
Hey, sports fans, in case you missed it, Max Barbecue now has two locations to serve you. Max's new location, right next to Grandy's off Cypress Mill Road in Brunswick, has all of the same favorites you'll find out at the Sterling location across from Jane Macon Light, Monday through Saturday. Both locations open for lunch, and come on over for dinner at the Sterling location. Max's Barbecue. Give them a like on Facebook.
Golden Isles Collision Center treats you like family because they are locally owned and operated. Free estimates, accepts all insurances, pickup and delivery options, new state-of-the-art facilities. Golden Isles Collision Center also guarantees their work for life. 301 Candler Drive off of Highway 82 next to J&J Tire, 912-263-4422. Golden Isles Collision Center, friendly, honest service.
Going back to the Montero thing and the Snicker thing, it's like the zombie apocalypse, right? Like, you don't – Montero, he put him out there for the second inning, put him in position to fail. It's like sending the weakest member of your group on a supply run during the zombie apocalypse. You know he's going to get bitten. You know he's not coming back. You don't put him in that position. You send somebody out there that's got experience doing it that can handle it. And that's not at all what happened. Anyway, moving on. This segment of the Jason Bishop Show is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System, by the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, by Companions for Heroes, and by Golden Isles Collision. Golden Isles Collision Center treats you like family because they are locally owned and operated. Free estimates, accepts all insurances, pickup and delivery options, new state-of-the-art facilities. Golden Isles Collision Center also guarantees their work for life. 301 Candler Drive off of Highway 82, Exit 29, 912-263-4422. Golden Isles Collision Center, friendly, honest service. Okay, so I want to talk a little Georgia Southern football. We're going to talk some Georgia Southern football, and then also I'm going to talk about Ryan Day's comments the other day about how he feels that the SEC and specifically the Big Ten, when the college football playoff expands to 16 teams, that the Big Ten deserves 4 automatic bids. We're going to get into that next segment. But Georgia Southern, who of course plays in the Sun Belt. Now I'm going to give you the teams that are in the Sun Belt in case you're not familiar. Georgia Southern, Georgia State, Coastal Carolina, Marshall, James Madison, Old Dominion, Appalachian State. That's the Sun Belt East. Georgia Southern, Georgia State, Coastal Carolina, Marshall, James Madison, Old Dominion, App State. In the West, Louisiana, Louisiana Monroe, Troy, Southern Miss, Texas State, Arkansas State, and South Alabama. That is your Sun Belt Western Division. So Georgia Southern is going to start the season on the road on August the 30th at Fresno State. We'll run through these, and then I'll give you my wins and losses, best case, worst case, all that stuff, and how I think they're going to do. Fresno State, August the 30th, they'll be there. September the 6th, they'll go on the road to Southern Cal. September 13th, they're at home against Jacksonville State. September 20th, at home against Maine. September the 26th, they go on the road to James Madison. Then they have a bye after that. October the 9th, they'll have Southern Miss at home, Georgia State on October the 18th in Statesboro. October the 25th, they'll head to the road against Arkansas State. They'll have a bye after that. November the 6th at App State. November 15th versus Coastal Carolina in Statesboro. November 22nd, Old Dominion on the they'll be at home there, and then on the road against Marshall to close things out on November the 29th. So we'll start with Fresno State. I'll take Fresno State to get that game at home against the Eagles. So 0-1 to start for the Georgia Southern Eagles. On September the 6th, heading to Southern Cal to play USC, I'll give Georgia Southern a loss there too. So to start the season, 0-2 for Georgia Southern to start. And then on September 13th, I think they get their first win of the season at home in Statesboro against Jacksonville State, 1-2. September the 20th at home against Maine, I think they get that game as well. So now they're back to 500 at 2-2. September the 27th, they go to James Madison. I'll take Georgia Southern to get that one. Now they're over 500 at 3-2. Then they hit their bye week, and then they get ready for Southern Miss in Statesboro. A bye week before that, so I'll give Georgia Southern the W there, 4-2. October the 18th, they will be at home against their arch rival, the Georgia State Panthers. Big-time rivalry game now. That has become quite the game. I'll take Georgia Southern to win that game at home. And then October 25th, so wait, what was that? That is 5 wins, 5-2 for the Eagles. And then October 25th at Arkansas State, give me Georgia Southern there, so 6-2. They hit the bye, getting ready for App State. I don't think it's going to matter. I think App State gets them. They'll be there in Boone, North Carolina, playing App State. So that's 6-3. And then at home against Coastal Carolina, I like Coastal Carolina a lot. I think they will come into Statesboro and win. So that's 6-4. November the 22nd versus Old Dominion, again in Statesboro. I think the Eagles get that game. So that is now 7-4. And then the season ender, the season finale, at Marshall on the road, I'll take Marshall to win that game. So I've got Georgia Southern going 7-5. They get bowl eligible. Games I have circled that I think, you know, might could go either way. Fresno State, Southern Miss, Georgia State, App State, Coastal Carolina, and Marshall. I pretty much have circled every loss and a couple of others with the exception of USC. So I think there's potential there. The Georgia Southern could potentially go 11-1, best case. That's best case. 11-1, best case for the Georgia Southern Eagles. I'm picking them to go 7-5. Now, worst case, if they drop all of those circled games, if they drop to Fresno State, if they drop to Southern Miss, Georgia State, App State, Coastal Carolina, and Marshall, that puts them at 5-7. So I'm picking them to go 7-5. I think there is potentially they could go 11-1, absolute best-case scenario. And then I think the worst-case scenario for the Eagles is a 5-7 campaign.
Whether you're heading to the big game or having friends over, you're going to need to get your party right. And M&B Liquors has everything you need with a large selection. And if you can't find it, the friendly M&B staff will get it for you. Be sure to ask about our keg selection, too. Locally family-owned and operated since 1985. Off exit 29 on I-95, 61 Candler Drive. Call 912-265-2567 and look for specials on Facebook. M&B Liquors. How about a little adventure in your life? Southeast Adventure Outfitters has been sharing the beautiful waterways of the Golden Isles since 1994. Kayak adventures offered daily. Full selection of kayaks from Hobie and Wilderness Systems. Schedule a private demo in Brunswick or find them every day in the Pier Village on St. Simons. Outdoor gear and clothes from Columbia, North Face, Tilly hats, even Costa sunglasses. Book a trip online at southeastadventure.com or over the phone at 912-638-6732. Group and club discounts are available too. Southeast Adventure Outfitters. Let's make some memories.
Trying to find great family fun but don't know where to look? Here is your answer. The Strike Zone at the end of the Spur in Brunswick offers the family-friendly environment you've been looking for. Bowling, arcade, and blacklight mini golf. The Strike Zone has something for the entire family. Call or go online and reserve for your next event or birthday party. 912-265-6600. TGIStrikeZone.com.
Golden Isles Collision Center treats you like family because they are locally owned and operated. Free estimates, accepts all insurances, pickup and delivery options, new state-of-the-art facilities. Golden Isles Collision Center also guarantees their work for life. 301 Candler Drive off of Highway 82 next to J&J Tire, 912-263-4422. Golden Isles Collision Center, friendly, honest service.
Let me just go on record and say that I am not a proponent of this 16-team playoff format in college football. I think 12 teams is too many. I thought 8 teams, I thought that was too many. I really like the old BCS where number 1 versus number 2 played. I liked that. Now, I did like the college football playoff where you had 4 teams that got in. I guess that's the one that I've liked the most so far. I do not like the 12 team. I certainly am not a proponent of the 16 team thing that they're throwing around. I think it's just absolutely ridiculous when you're talking about putting 16 teams into a college football playoff to determine a national champion when really only 3 or 4 of them are good enough to win a national championship. I don't like it. I think it waters down the playoff, to be honest with you. I think it puts a lot of teams in the field that just don't deserve to be contending for a national championship. This segment of the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System, by the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, Companions for Heroes, and by Golden Isles Collision. So this is Ryan Day made some controversial comments the other day saying that he felt like that the Big Ten and the college football playoff under 16 teams should get 4 automatic bids, which I guess when you hear that, you think that's absolutely ludicrous. And his argument was, and it's a valid one, you know, that they added all of those teams from out west that were formerly in the Pac-12 or whatever, Pac-14, whatever they were. And so because they added all of those teams, that, you know, it just makes logical sense that they should get more bids. And, you know, and he also mentioned that the SEC should get 4. It's not like he was just, you know, completely waving the Big Ten's flag over everybody else. You know, he did say that he felt like the SEC and the Big Ten should get 4 automatic bids in a field of 16. So when you first hear that, you're kind of like, what? No way. There's no way that either one of those conferences should get 4 automatic bids just because of what the conference says, what the logo is. But before you make that argument, let me throw something here at you, because I did a little bit of research here, and I'm just going to take last year for example. Last year in a field of 12, right, the Big Ten got 4 teams, as did the SEC in the field of 12. They got each got 4 bids in a 12-team field. Oregon, Indiana, Penn State, and Ohio State, all deserving to be there, in the field of 12 from last year. Texas, Georgia, Tennessee, and Alabama. The SEC got 4 teams in a field of 12. Now, you can make an argument that maybe Alabama was on the bubble, but with the teams, and again, it's just a whole water, the whole thing was just watered down. You know, once you get to, you know, who's 12, 13, and 14, who cares? You know, so Alabama got in, benefit of the doubt, and, you know, they did not look very good. But they did get 4, and that was in a field of 12. So when Ryan Day comes out and says, hey, we're going to add 4 more teams, and in the field of 12, the SEC and the Big Ten put in 8 for a piece, and I think that they should automatically get 4 a piece. Well, they already put 4 in a field of 12. So if you add 4 more teams, what he's saying is just logic. It's not as ridiculous as it first sounds when you first hear it. If you think about it, well, yeah. Yeah. Those are the 2 best college football teams in the country. They have the most teams in the country in their conferences. And the top part of their conference is pretty deep. I don't think that it's completely asinine to say that. And I think it will happen. So here's the format in the field of 16 that they are proposing for the college football fan, us. Four teams from the Big Ten. These are all automatic berths. Four teams from the Big Ten, four teams from the SEC, two teams from the Big 12, two teams from the ACC, and one team from the Group of Five, the highest rated ranked Group of Five team. So those would be your automatic bids. Four from the Big Ten, four from the SEC, two Big 12, two ACC, and one from the Group of Five. Well, if you do the math, that's only 13 teams. So the other three teams would be comprised of at-large bids. You're taking three teams that may not have won their conference or won their conference championship, or are, you know, possibly fifth in their conference, and putting them in. When you're taking four teams from the Big Ten and four teams from the SEC, I don't think that there are going to be too many other deserving teams past that. So I don't really have a problem with only three at-large bids when you're giving eight bids to the two best conferences and they're getting eight teams. I just don't think that the fifth team from the Big Ten or the fifth team from the SEC should be viable. So I think that they get their four bids. And maybe here and there, there's some weird circumstance where they would get one of those conferences would get a fifth, but it's not going to happen often. Really, where those at-large bids are going to go, they're going to go to the Big 12 and the ACC. Those two conferences are going to get all three bids most years. They're going to get all three at-large bids. So one team, you know, could potentially put in, what, four? And another team could potentially put in three. So that is what's going to happen with the three at-large bids. They're not going to go out of their way to give an at-large bid to the Group of Five. It would have to be a really extenuating circumstance and would be rare. Not saying it won't happen. It will. But it's not going to be year in, year out. Basically, what you're going to end up with, you're going to have, if they do this, a 16-field team or a 16-team field, four SEC, four Big Ten, and then you'll have Big 12 and ACC, one getting four and one getting three. And then typically you'll have the Group of Five get their one. That's the way that's going to shake out in most years. Again, you'll have some years where it won't typically shape out. Maybe you'll have a Big Ten that's really, really deep or an SEC that's really, really deep and a fifth team gets in. Or maybe two Group of Five teams, you know, you have the highest ranked and there's another one that's like maybe two undefeated Group of Five teams. And so you take one of the at-large bids and give it to them. That's typically the way it's going to go. But, again, I'm not a fan of this. I guess if they're going to do 16 teams, I guess I agree with how they're going to shake it out. That seems fair. Especially when you think about, you know, in the field of 12, both the SEC and Big Ten got four teams in anyway, and the SEC almost got five. So, you know, even in a group of 12, the SEC almost got five teams in. This segment of the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network is brought to you by Southeast Georgia Health System, by the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, Companions for Heroes, and by Golden Isles Collision. Baseball is back. Jumbo Shrimp Baseball is home all season long at Vistar Ballpark in downtown Jacksonville. AAA baseball for as little as $5. Fireworks after all Friday games and great promotions all season long. For tickets and information, log on to Jack Shrimp. That's J-A-X, jackshrimp.com. Jumbo Shrimp Baseball, affordable family fun. Now, don't be mistaken. Just because you're going to have 16 teams in the college football playoff, the teams that are going to win national championships are still going to be somewhere ranked in your top five.
This has been the Jason Bishop Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
The Bishop Media Sports Network presents the Southern Sports Edition Minute with Jason Bishop, the authority on Southern sports.
This Southern Sports Edition Minute is brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, a strategic affiliate of Southeast Georgia Health System. For more information about services and physicians, visit sghs.org/summit. More big news out of St. Simon's Island. The Frederick Academy Knights baseball team won the AAA GISA State Baseball Championship last week in Columbus, Georgia. The Knights swept Pinewood in the championship series 3-0, beating the Patriots 8-6 in the final game. It is Frederica's first ever baseball state title. The Knights finished the season with a 23-6 record. Congrats, Knights! The Southern Sports Edition Minute is a product of the Bishop Media Sports Network.
Keep up with all your local sports teams at thesouthernsportsedition.com and look for your monthly copy of the Southern Sports Edition.
You love the game, but you don't love the pain. From the moment an injury sidelines you, turn to the experts at Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery. Our winning team of physicians and orthopedic surgeons will design a treatment plan just for you, so you can get back in the game quickly and safely. To play your best, you need to work with the best. Visit sghs.org/summit or call 912-466-7340 to schedule your appointment.
Golden Isles Collision Center treats you like family because they are locally owned and operated. Free estimates, accepts all insurances, pickup and delivery options, new state-of-the-art facilities. Golden Isles Collision Center also guarantees their work for life. 301 Candler Drive off of Highway 82 next to J&J Tire, 912-263-4422. Golden Isles Collision Center, friendly, honest service.
Baseball is back. Jumbo Shrimp Baseball is home all season long at Vistar Ballpark in downtown Jacksonville. Triple-A baseball for as little as $5. Fireworks after all Friday games and great promotions all season long. For tickets and information, log on to jackshrimp.com. Jumbo Shrimp Baseball. Affordable. Family. Fun.
Thousands of shelter animals need homes. Many of our nation's heroes need healing. At Companions for Heroes, we bring them together, rescuing pets and giving military members and first responders the support of a loyal companion. It's more than just adoption. It's a second chance for both. Learn how you can help at companionsforheroes.org.